people across the country, but especially here in Illinois, are reeling from these revelations about Rod Blagojevich, our governor, who allegedly tried to sell the Senate seat of Barack Obama to the highest bidder. And, you know, these tapes that we've heard or heard about of our governor sounding like a minor character from The Sopranos are disquieting, to say the least. But here's what I find interesting. How do biblical people look at the phenomenon of political corruption? I think we look at it with clear eyes, that we're not naive, we're not shocked and overwhelmed by it. We're accustomed to, we know about political corruption precisely because we've been formed in a biblical worldview. I'll give you just a couple of examples from many, many you could choose from the Bible. Go back to the first book of Samuel. The people of Israel begin to say to Samuel, the prophet, we want a king to be like the other nations. Now, mind you, whenever Israel says things like, we want to be like the other nations, that's a bad sign. That's always a bad sign, because Israel's meant to be unique, a special people. Samuel says, let me tell you about these kings. It's a great passage. I'd recommend it to anyone interested in politics. It's in the first book of Samuel, and you'll find this description of what kings will do. And he runs through all the ways that kings will abuse you and your children and your families. They'll take your money, they'll draft you into the army, and they will use you for their own purposes. Trust me, Samuel says about these kings, you won't like them. The people persist and say, no, 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 we want a king. And so God says to Samuel, give them a king. And it's said with that kind of rueful irony, I think, because now from that point on, Saul is chosen, then David, then Solomon, and the whole list goes on. But some of the worst kings in human history are the kings of Israel. One after the other. They're idolaters, they're murderers, they're lowlifes, they're failures. It's as though God is saying, okay, you wanted a king? I'll give you a king. I told you about these people, and that's exactly what they're going to do. And so biblical people know about political corruption, and they're not shocked or surprised by it. Here's the second episode. One of the best known in the Bible, one of the most beautifully told, the story of David and Bathsheba. Here's David, the king of Israel, one of the most important people in the world at the time. And he sees the lovely Bathsheba, and he just resolves, okay, I'm going to have her. Even though she's already married, I'm going to have her. So Bathsheba comes together with David, and then she becomes pregnant. So David thinks, now I've got to get rid of Uriah, her husband. But heck, it's good to be king. I'm the king. I do whatever I want. Calls poor Uriah in, who's fighting with David's army. He's a very honorable guy. Calls him in, and he arranges for Uriah to be sent to the thickest part of the battle where he knows he'll be killed. And sure enough, Uriah is killed in battle. So David's got what he wants. David looks good. No one knows the difference. And he takes Bathsheba as one of his wives. Okay, so far so ordinary. Politicians have done that from the beginning of time. They still do it. They use their power. They abuse their power for their own purposes. But in the Bible, see, God sees through this operation. God understands what David's doing, and he sends Nathan the prophet to him. And Nathan reveals to David his own wickedness, his own sin. And then God rather severely punishes David. It's a great political lesson. Here's a third example. I think the most telling. The devil, we hear, has tempted Jesus out in the desert with sensual pleasure, turn these stones into bread. Then he tempts him with glory. Put yourself up on the temple, throw yourself down, even God will protect you. But the final temptation, and the most intense, is the one dealing with power. All the kingdoms of the world, the devil displays before Jesus. All these I will give to you if you but bow down and worship me. Now, the implication's clear. They all belong to the devil. He couldn't offer them to Jesus unless he had them himself. In fact, Luke makes that very clear in his gospel. I don't know anywhere in the literature of the world where there's a more thoroughgoing criticism of politics and political arrangements than that. That somehow the devil owns all of political reality. So there's the biblical clarity about politics and political corruption. We are always a nation, as we say quite correctly, under God. That means our political leaders are not free agents. They can't just do whatever they want. They can't just abuse their power anyway. They're under a higher authority. That's why I think biblical people are always wary whenever a politician becomes too messianic or when our attitude toward a politician becomes too messianic. He'll solve our problems. Once this person gets elected or chosen, he or she will solve our problems. Biblical people are very quick to say, I don't care how good and impressive a politician is, and they might be very bright, very gifted, very capable, but by God, they're not the Messiah. And the minute we think they are, then we are on a short road to disaster. So I think that's something that biblical people are very, very legitimately reticent about, is any move in that kind of apotheosizing of political leaders. Now, I'd add this, and you find this too in the Bible. We shouldn't be completely cynical about it. Why? Because God is described as powerful. Therefore, power in itself can't be a bad thing. When a politician, a political leader, exercises power legitimately, he's participating in God's power. Nothing in the world wrong with that. So politics in themselves aren't bad. But there's such a tendency because of sin, because of the fall, there's such a tendency for a political life to fall into corruption. And biblical people see that and understand it. That's why I think it's very important in our Western system, especially our American system, that we have checks and balances in place. That's a very biblical idea. It says surround powerful people with checks and with people to watch them. Make sure these folks are under surveillance. Someone to get in their way when they start abusing power. That's a very healthy, biblically inspired principle, I think. So I think that's how we approach it. We say politics good in itself, power good in itself, but are we suspicious of it too? And we're not all that shocked and dismayed and surprised when political corruption appears. We know all about it. But we biblical people have to rise up with the same courage and the same eloquence of Nathan and call politicians out when they engage in this kind of corruption.